The General Services Administration's Federal Acquisition Service recently completed for the first time a survey of its vendors. It always had done an agency customer survey, but never one asking contractors what they thought of FAS. Steve Kempf is the commissioner of FAS. He says the survey had specific goals in mind.
What were its perceptions about what we were good at in terms of being a partner, and what were we not so good at? Then we're going to take that, and we've got some of that data back. And then we're looking across our whole, this is not just for the schedules, it's for all of the programs that we have. What kinds of relationships do we have with industry across our many different business lines? Which ones are better? I mean, so some of the things we're actually looking at is how we actually interact with industry and what kind of results flow from that. So, you know, what parts of our organization have really good relationships with industry, where there's good communication back and forth, where there's good levels of trust back and forth, and good results coming out of that? So how do we, across our own organization, understand the way we act differently with our industry partners and which ones are most effective?
The survey is an example of the growing recognition by agencies that they need to improve the way they manage their vendors. The Departments of Defense, Veterans Affairs, and Commerce are among the agencies taking a more disciplined approach to managing their supply chains. Raj Sharma is CEO of Sensio Consulting Group and president of the Federal Acquisition Innovation and Reform, or FAIR, Institute. He says supply chain management helps organizations understand what their mission goals are through the products and services they buy.
What role do you want your suppliers to play in helping you achieve your outcomes? So that's very, very important. Beyond meeting a specific requirement, ultimately, how does the supply chain help support a set of mission critical outcomes or whatever specific needs there might be? And then at an organizational level, once you have a clear understanding of how your different supply chains support your mission, then you can start to really define what are the set of capabilities required. How should you organize as a department? What kinds of people, what kind of skill sets do you need? What processes do you need in place?
Sharma says at its most basic terms, it comes down to understanding the difference between cost and price.
There's a lot more to anything you buy than just price. So just a quick example that anyone can relate to is printers. If you just buy a printer, the equipment, that is a very small part of the total lifecycle cost of what you actually end up spending on printing supplies and the maintenance. We all know how many times printers break down, or the paper, et cetera. So really managing the total cost of that critical. So if we just isolate and focus on price, it's likely that we may end up deferring some of the other costs associated with that purchase to other parts of the organization. So we, in essence, will not have reduced, and we actually may end up increasing overall costs.
And it's that issue agencies such as Commerce have focused on. Commerce consolidated contracts for IT hardware. It performed an asset management assessment and a review of historical spending to figure out how to save $50 million on technology products. Commerce also has required bureaus to use a common set of standards for computers to help reduce overall costs. Sharma says it's not only about total cost.
One of the things I would highlight is the critical need is for government agencies to take a step back and also look at the organization structure as well as business processes. So one thing is we can approach these initiatives one by one, but to really drive long-term change, we also need to start looking at organizations. Are we organized correctly? Are the business processes streamlined in terms of how we're doing acquisition and managing our supply chains?
The management of those processes and the supply chain is where GSA's Federal Acquisition Service is heading with its survey. Kemp says the survey provided both good and bad news for FAS.
The higher scoring areas, and interesting and maybe not so interesting, is the contractor's long-term commitment to GSA and FAS in particular is where we scored the highest. So, and I think that's really good because one of the things you really want is a commitment from the people that you're doing business with. So I think they value their relationship with GSA, and that's also really good in scores in terms of our integrity. And I think that's also really good. Some of the areas where we need to work better and where we had some of the lower scores, effectiveness at sharing risk, whether we present one face to the industry.
The idea of presenting one face to industry is something GSA is trying to address. Kempf says FAS's Office of Acquisition Management's Emile Monette is leading that effort. Kemp says FAS currently has multiple business lines that all treat and interact with industry differently, and that is part of the reason why their score is so low.
You know, we're looking at some sort of action planning around some of the information that we're finding out, sharing across the organization with best practices, and then concentrating perhaps on a few of these that we decide to pick to really concentrate on and improve, because we think that will drive more value into that relationship. Perhaps we'll get better at allowing industry to bring innovation to some of our services faster.
Kemp says the survey will influence GSA's work on its next generation of schedules initiative. He says the updates to the schedules program will focus on greater transparency in agency spending habits, help for vendors to market their products and services, and simplifying the acquisition process for its customers.
When we move toward the next generation of schedules, how do we build that in a way that it's in line with, you know, understanding how industry operates? How do we adopt and adapt commercial practices that we can actually use in the schedules program, because it's supposed to mirror closely commercial acquisitions to the extent we can? What are the things we're doing in schedules that make it hard for business to operate? And then can we change those? What are we doing well and what should we do more of? You know, so what kinds of things do we need to do in order to shape and evolve the next generation of the schedules in order to support the customers, their needs, drive costs out of the system, and improve risk management as we go forward?
Kemp says in the next 6 months, FAS will have more details on the plan to move to that next generation of schedules. Improving your supply chain management could also mean cost savings. Sensio Sharma says he's seen double-digit reductions in the price for products and services at some clients.
We see anywhere from 10 to 20% there, but then there are also things that you can do without actually doing an acquisition. For instance, the area is called demand management, where you can look internally to say, do we have excess capacity? Are we potentially gold-plating requirements where we don't need certain things, but they're adding costs? So those things you can start to reduce yourselves. And what we're seeing is those by themselves, without going through the pain of an acquisition, you can actually reduce 10 to 20% there. So on average, what we've seen is there's easily 10 to 15% on the whole. In some instances, we've seen 20, 30, even 40% saving.
Adding supply chain discipline into any organization is a major change. Kemp says it's all about more effectively managing the relationship between you and your customers. In Washington, Jason Miller, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.